So, here's where we are today. We have finished the book of Joshua, and I was honest with you. I had no idea where we were heading, but after speaking to some super wise folks, and a few maybe who weren't all that wise, but you know, I don't even know what they thought anyway, we are going to move one page over. We're going to go on into the book of Judges. All right? Now, we're not going to meticulously break down Judges like we normally would. All right? We're going to take the time frame of Judges. We're going to take the whole of Judges. We're going to take the theme of Judges. We're going to look at some of the people in Judges, and we're going to ride that train into another book that actually happens during the time frame of Judges. While Judges is going on, the story of Ruth happens, all right? And there's something really amazing about the story of Ruth that will run us right into Jesus' birth. And guess what's coming up in about a month and a half? Christmas. So, we're going to be able to ride the Judges train, right onto the Ruth train, right into Christmas. And it's going to work out really cool, really neat. About 8 months ago, some of us kind of saw this coming, and then I backed off that a little bit, and I was wrong. Other people were right, and I choose to listen to them. And so, here's what we're going to do. Well, my sister just went. Like, that's a surprise. Well, alrighty then. So, here's what happened. We've all got to land here as a church. So I'm going to tell you why we're doing this, and you're going to kind of see it too. Alright, we've got the book of Judges, which comes right after Joshua in the Bible. Alright, but it also comes right after Joshua chronologically. Okay? So, Joshua is the story of the God's children, God's church, God's people entering the promised land. We've all got that. They go through their ups and downs of believing in Him, of following Him, of taking over the land that God had already given them, of dealing with God's promise and living out their everyday lives, which we all have admitted we have a problem with. We love Jesus. We know He works. We know He has moments, but we get in the daily grind, and we forget His promises. We forget His hopefulness. We forget that the politics that drive us aren't actually in charge. We forget that the jobs that we have aren't actually in charge, all right? And God is sovereign over all things, all right? So, the people seem to catch on to this more toward the end than they did at the beginning, all right? They have been given their land. They have gone out to make their lives. Does that make sense? You know, after your marriage, you move into your apartment or into your home, you set up shop, you get a job, and you begin to live out the life as a parent, as a father, as a husband, as a mother, that God has for you. So as a church, all right, we are in the process of becoming. We're in the lengthy process, doesn't happen overnight with the church, of setting up shop. We have set up our leadership, okay? We have set up our staff, okay? We have set up our worship experience, okay? We have set up times for our children to minister, for our students to minister. And this week, we set up our Bible studies, all right? So, we are getting our feet planted in a schedule. I can't do it. Schedule. Oh, well. But we're getting our feet planted. I won't try that anymore. All right. We've settled that in, okay? That's our settling into the land, all right? And Joshua has given his promise to the people. Choose. We finished here a week ago. Choose today. Listen to me, though. Choose every day. Don't choose today. Live inner worship next Sunday. Choose today. Live inner worship. Choose today. Don't allow that to be the pattern. You're going to see that it's going to be the pattern anyway, and we've got to figure out how to stop it, okay? You're going to see that coming. But here's what happens. Joshua lets the people go out, okay? And begin their lives as individual families, as communities, as the 12 tribes, and as a nation, okay? So they're all working kind of like churches, cities, states, and then a nation. All right? And as a nation, the book of Judges takes us through the first 300 years or so of how it goes. It looks like this. You have Joshua, and then you have around 300 years of the judges, and then you get the first king. All right? That's what happens. There's a reason that you need to look at it this way. All right? There's a reason that you need to see this. There's about 300 years of living without an appointed or anointed, very specific leader. Okay? That is where we are. Okay? With the people here. All right? About 300 years of rule without a leader. Well, who ruled? Well, God appointed what he called judges. Now, they're not judges like today. They're not necessarily, well, the word is arbiter, okay? Has anybody ever been in an arbitration? You know what that is? Where people come together and there is a middleman, an arbiter, who helps to wisely choose, okay? They had kind of that set up. People would live on their own, and then there were people, arbiters, who they would come together, and if they had a discrepancy, the arbiter would kind of make a ruling, like a judgment, and then they would move on about their lives. They needed something. It happened that way, and it didn't. You need to think about the judges, okay, in Joshua, more like champions, I think would be a word, and not champion like first place, but a champion for a cause. A champion for the people of Israel, okay? When they would fall, a champion would be brought out by God, chosen by God, and that person would come through for the people and bring restoration or bring peace back to the land. Now, it should be right up here. I think the next slide is going to kind of show you who the judges were. Is that what's up there? Is it a big long list? All right, so you need to look at it like this. There are basically six major judges, all right? Those are the guys the stories are written about, all right? Those are the Michael Jordans, okay? Those are the LeBron Jameses. Those are the Brett Favres and the Tom Brady's. Those are the Pete Roses and baseball people, whatever. All right, those are those people, all right? They're the ones you hear about. But there are also six minor judges. So the major judges that you could read, you know, pretty long stories about a chapter, are Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson. How many of you have heard of Samson, at least? Okay, how many of you have heard of Deborah? Yeah, how many of you have heard of Gideon? And Gideon led the Gideonites to war against the Midianites. Okay, yeah. That's a little phrase that I learned again. There's also Shamgar, Tola, Jair, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. Anybody here heard of Ibzan? Yeah, me neither. Okay. But they were some of the minor prophets. Some theologians believe that the minor prophets were the guys that I talked about that did some arbitration work in Israel, and the major prophets were there, the major judges were the champions, all right? The people you write stories about, the heroes. I've seen sermon titles, Judges, Heroes, and Villains. Judges, God's faithfulness and the people's unrighteousness, that kind of thing, all right? It's not one definition. That's part of the problem. There is not one way to describe what a judge was. We do know there are major judges, which I pointed out, and minor judges. And then you'll notice that I've got one in parentheses. That is Abimelech, okay? Abimelech's story is in the book of Judges. We will probably look at him as the what not to do story, okay? We got some judges that are pulled out, but Abimelech is the what not to do, all right? But Abimelech is technically not a judge, and this is going to be strange, but a king. He was technically, by title, a king. But he was not the king of Israel. He was only anointed king over a specific region and then a small, larger group of people. Not just that region, but it stretched out a little bit. It'd be like somebody saying he was the mayor of a county in Kentucky and then four or five counties kind of joining in under his rule. But Kentucky didn't pick him. You with me? So he wasn't the king of Israel, but he was a king and not a judge. That's why he's in parentheses. So, it's really not as hard to remember as you think. Six big ones, six little ones, and a messed up king. That's the judges. Okay? Now, here's what happened with the people. This is what I want you to remember for today and what we're going to see for the next 4 to 6 weeks. All right? The next slide. All right? Here's how God's people responded. And you ready? Here's how your life goes. Everything's going along fine, and then there's a disaster. You mess up, you have a sin in your life, you let it go, something bad happens in your life, you crumble, you point your finger at God, you run away from things, you run back to the bottle, you run back to the drugs, you run back to a bad relationship, and that leads to disaster. Disaster is caused by disobedience. Actually, I've got those backwards, okay? Those are actually backwards. Disobedience comes first, and disobedience leads to disaster. I'll fix it next week. And disaster, you cry out to God and you get deliverance. So when you write that down, write it down correctly. That's what I get for trying to use slides, all right? It actually goes disobedience, disaster, deliverance. When you disobey God, it leads to disaster. When you get down to the bottom of the barrel and you cry out to God, He comes and He gives you deliverance. Disobedience, disaster, deliverance. Can you say it with me? Disobedience, disaster, deliverance. Let's say it again. This is going to work 6 weeks. This is what you need to remember. Disobedience, disaster, deliverance. One more time for me. Disobedience, disaster, deliverance. The judges took place in between disaster and deliverance. Okay? The judges we're going to hear about, God called out in the time of disaster when the people finally said, we've had enough, we need to fix this. God called upon a judge or a champion to fix the problem, and the champion did. Here's the great part. Every champion wasn't strong. Every champion wasn't handsome. Every champion wasn't tall. This is our story. Flawed people. Small people. One of them we'll look at. Left-handed people. Now that's no big deal now. Why would you say left-handed? In the Bible, that's a major deal. You're messed up. You messed up if you were left-handed. We call the story of that guy Lefty and the Hefty. You'll see why later on, all right? But Lefty and the Hefty is one of the stories that we will look at, all right? He kills a big fat dude. All right. So it's fun. Then you got Samson, all right? Samson is basically the Incredible Hulk, okay? Literally, Samson is a live-action version of the Incredible Hulk with really, really, really long hair. Okay, this dude's muscles bulge out. This is the professional wrestler, the huge chest, huge arms, huge legs, you know, pushes pillars down, takes the jawbone of a donkey and kills 300 people. I mean, this man is the superhero in the scriptures. And then you've got Gideon. Gideon is meek. Gideon is tiny. He's rail thin. He's got a pooch belly. He's hiding away, all right? And God calls him out. He uses big people, small people, short people, tall people, loud people, left-handed people, right-handed people. These are our stories. So, what I need you to grab is, this is the next step as we look at what happens in our church. That's one. This is a story of our lives individually, of our lives as churches, and of our lives as a nation. This is where this gets important. Our lives as a nation, all right? And this is the story of how God deals with us as individuals when we disobey, when our lives fall apart, when He comes and gets us back. These are the story of our lives when it comes to how God uses us, how God calls us, how He can use anyone from a baseball coach to a banker to a nuclear, chemical, physical, engineering, smarty guy to a tire man to a music man, all right, to a teenager. This is the story of how He uses that. All right? These are our stories and how we can be champions for His cause, champions for one another, champions for our children, champions for our youth. Okay? This is how that all breaks down. But it's timely also. And you need to hear this because I want you dwelling on this. You're getting an overview today. I want you dwelling on this. No one in the room who flips on the television,
who watches Facebook, reads the newspapers, no one in this room would say that everything is smooth and simple and going exactly like it should and is God-honored in our country right now. Okay? We are in the middle of a difficult time in our nation. We are in the middle of a difficult time of picking leaders, discerning democracy, understanding what moral principles apply to government, what moral principles apply to us, what moral principles apply to politics, and which ones do not. Whose role is it to teach the children in our education system? Whose role is it to choose whether or not we carry out abortion or not abortion? Whose role is it to choose whether gay people can be married or not be married? And how do we, as God-fearing, called out champions for Christ, deal with these topics? What I am not going to do is use this pulpit as a political realm, a political tirade, a place to tell the congregation who has submitted to my authority how to vote and how to act and react. Not going to do it. What I am going to do is honor the Scripture, honor the Lord, honor the pastoral office by telling you how you should react, how you should respond, how you should live out your life. Because I can promise you this one thing. If we had children who feared God, who loved the Lord with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, who understood at the age of 6, at the age of 10, at the age of 14, how God feels about abortion and how God feels about homosexuality, then we would not need the government to tell us whether or not they could be married.
Amen. Amen.
There's the point. No matter what happens on November 8th, Little Orphan Annie said, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. And God is not going to stand in the heavenly realm and go, oh, 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 it was not supposed to be Hillary. He's not going to do it. Those of you who are going to scream and shout and write on Facebook and yell, the Jesus that you are praising this morning ain't scared. And to act like he is irreverently ludicrous to him. Do you understand that? To throw your hands in the air, rant on Facebook, yell and scream at your friends because Trump got elected or Hillary got elected or nobody got elected is doing a disservice to the God who's up there giggling about you fretting. Let me tell you what he's not giggling about. He's not giggling about the people making the choices that we're trying to elect officials to make choices about. Why don't we stop focusing our attention on the debates and focus our attention on making disciples? If you train a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they won't need a president to tell them if they can't get married or not get married. They'll know. We're in trouble because we've made our job their job. We've passed off our job to a president, and let me tell you something. He is not a pastor. Most of you are angry because our president plural, do not do things like a pastor should do.
Would you agree with that statement?
We get angry when our presidents don't act like pastors. But let me tell you something. They're not. They're not pastors. They're presidents. What they have to make decisions on is not the Bible, but the Constitution. If we were, in fact, one nation, under God, indivisible, then perhaps we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. So the goal, the promise, the preaching that you will hear for the next few weeks will absolutely play into what happens on November the 8th. But it will not change on November the 9th. It will be no different on November 25th or 24th or whenever Thanksgiving is when we give thanks, no matter who's in office. It will not change December 25th when we will praise the birth of the one who's still on the throne. Do you understand that what we have to do is focus on today and tomorrow and begin to create champions for Jesus Christ who bring the people out? I put up there that Judges was a 300-year span for this very reason. How old is America?
200.
Between 200 and 300 years. It's a slow process, the dying of a nation. But it can be reversed.
40 years.
It just may not happen when you think it will happen. It will happen when we invest in the people who will make it happen. Change your focus and change your future. Judges will be about champions. Judges will be about righteousness. Judges will be about forgiveness. Judges will be about discernment. Judges will be about becoming. And then it will end with the one who became a man. Who took our place. Remember this word. Who was our redeemer from all the evil. That's where this culminates. Okay? That's where this heads into. But it comes back to a reliance. Not on president. Okay? But on the person of Jesus Christ. It comes back to not yelling out to Trump, not yelling out to Obama, not yelling out to Hillary, not yelling out to your own personal gods or your own personal demons. But it comes to focusing on the God who gave you the promised land, the God who asked you to follow Him, the God who laid out His promises, and a nation who realizes that no matter how rich they get, no matter how industrial they get, no matter how away from the third world and into the first world they get, they still need Jesus. No matter how fluent we get, we need Jesus. No matter how many failures we have, we need Jesus. No matter how rich we become, we need Jesus. No matter who wins the election, we need Jesus. No matter how far you fall, you need Jesus. The book of Judges will be stories about people coming home, people finding peace, people finding hope, and a nation falling apart. And what God did to restore them. Starts with recognizing the one need that we all have.